And that's the kicking music that means it is time again for Pop Culture Happy Hour. I'm Linda Holmes. I'm the editor of NPR's pop culture and entertainment blog, Monkey See. It is the beginning of summer. I am pretending that it is the beginning of summer, even though it's actually just the beginning of May. And it probably will not surprise you that we are going to talk today about summer movies. And as always, we will also talk about what's making us happy this week. But the main topic, that's right, summer movies. Before we get started, let's go around the table. Stephen Thompson, what do you do at NPR?
I am a writer and editor with NPR Music.
And Trey Graham, what do you do at NPR?
I am the movies editor at the NPR website, and that's going to come in handy today.
Glenn Weldon, what do you do at NPR?
I write about books and comic books, and I'm writing a book for the NPR website.
Well, you're not writing a book for us. No, you're writing a book for the world. So it has come to my attention that this being early May, this is the part where we can start to pretend that it's getting to be summer. I think the season starts probably this week, as you are hearing this podcast.
With a little movie called The Best Exotic Marigold Hotel.
Correct. The Juggernaut.
That's the tentpole film of the weekend.
No, of course, we are talking about the Avengers kicking off the season, and so that made us think it was time. So we're going to talk about a few of the movies that we are and are not looking forward to, and perhaps we'll see if we can call in a consultant to fill in any demographic holes that we might be missing.
Yes.
Stephen Thompson, tell me about a summer movie you're looking forward to.
I was looking over...
There is no Kung Fu Panda 4, by the way.
Yeah, I know. And that is... really the one disadvantage of the summer movie lineup. Looking over several months of releases, I was really taken aback by the fact that all of these movies are going to be really great.
So, as one expects, in the summer.
Narrowing it down, do I talk about Piranha 3 Double D? Do I talk about G.I. Joe Retaliation? Do I talk about Battleship? Dare I talk about Battleship? I'm actually kind of excited about
How about The Expendables Part 2?
The Expendables Part 2.
Part 2.
I just automatically called it Part 2. I'm going to go ahead and Pig in the City, Legend of Curly's Gold.
Yeah.
I'm going to start kind of early in the summer and express my dear hope that Dark Shadows is as good as it looks. It's obviously a reboot of the late 60s kind of cult soap opera about a vampire. And it stars Johnny Depp, as you know, if you've been to a movie and thus seen the trailer over and over and over again. But, you know, it's directed by Tim Burton. It obviously has all the...
Boy, it doesn't look it.
Yeah, it doesn't look at all like that.
Never would have guessed.
It will come as a gigantic shock to learn that Helena Bonham Carter is in it.
How did Tim Burton and Helena Bonham Carter and Johnny Depp wind up making a movie together?
And where the cult soap opera was sort of a very serious, somewhat gothy, soapy but serious, this is a very comedic...
Every second.
Dark Shadows is a big part of my family. My mother is a gigantic fan and has actually written several comic book adaptations of Dark Shadows. It ran for 5 years, 1,200 episodes.
Yeah.
Which is just
remarkable.
They're distilling it down to one movie with Johnny Depp as the...
I think what they are distilling is a franchise.
I believe it was my friend Dave Cole who tweeted the other night, so this is basically Austin Powers with Johnny Depp as a vampire.
As a vampire. But, those ingredients put together, I'm in.
Excellent. Very good. Trey Graham, movies editor. Talk to me.
All right. There is actually a movie coming out this week called The Best Exotic Marigold Hotel. If you want to talk about counter-programming for the Avengers, that's what this is.
I believe LOL with Miley Cyrus is coming out this week as well.
Yeah, we're going to just let that pass, I think. But this is Judi Dench, Maggie Smith, Bill Nye, Tom Wilkinson, all these ridiculously British people who decide to retire in India. And it's either going to be a really charming film or the most horrifying kind of colonialist tourism of an exotic, quote-unquote,
Isn't
culture,
India adorable?
Right?
Yeah.
Isn't
oh,
India...
I misheard you with your crazy accent.
Right. Yeah.
Outsourced for old people.
Right? That's exactly... It's... Oh, my God. There's that. So we're going to just let that pass and let the market rule. But I am actually looking forward to a little movie called What to Expect When You're Expecting.
Oh,
Jesus Louise.
I'm not kidding.
Trey is the movies editor.
I have a list in front of me, and I have that down under the category of it exists.
What are you looking forward to specifically, Trey Graham?
I'm looking forward to the merest sliver of a possibility that it might actually turn out to be amusing.
That's basically true of Battleship.
Yes, that is true.
It looks a lot like a Gary Marshall film, but it is not a Gary
it's
Marshall
not
film.
A Gary Marshall
and in
film.
Fact, a lot of the actors are really good comedic sensibility people. I'm talking about Rob Hubel, Chris Rock, Anna Kendrick, Thomas Lennon, Ben Falcone. These
Elizabeth
are real people.
Banks.
Elizabeth Banks. These are real people. There's some duds in there as well. But for example. But I'm not prepared to give up on this movie.
No,
I'm
no,
not
no.
seeing it in no way in hell, but I'm not prepared to give up on it.
And the movie posters do say, not a Gary Marshall picture.
Really?
No, it's not. They should.
I just have to confess that I enjoyed the trailer and that, you know, its beats were working for me. And that, you know, as Linda was saying the other week with Think Like a Man, I kind of hope that it turns out to be a charmingly empty-headed little piece of ensemble fluff.
Nice.
The way to reach Troy Graham is not through his stomach, but through poopy diaper jokes. That's a surprising,
fact. All right, Glenn Weldon, tell me about a summer movie.
Next week, a film called God Bless America, directed and written by Bobcat Goldthwait, is coming out. You're not going to find a bigger Shakes the Clown fan than this guy right here.
You don't say. I'm shocked.
Yeah. So it's a dark comedy. It's about a guy with a brain tumor. Wait, the laughs don't stop there. Who goes on a killing spree. Now, there's a little bit of Natural Born Killers in here without the peyote. It's a little bit of Falling Down as a comedy, and it's also a little bit of Heathers sort of writ large. Now, the jokes are basically he kills anybody who is repellent, so somebody who talks in movies, somebody who takes up two parking spaces. So that kind of thing can get old really quickly, and I have a feeling that it's going to be really, really broad, but I'm going to give Bobcat Goldthwait the benefit of the doubt because he's earned it.
I can't tell you how many times I've spoken that sentence.
Yeah.
I'm going to give Bobcat Goldthwait the benefit of the doubt.
That's a lot of benefit.
I suspect that's going to be an interesting movie, if nothing else.
Interesting, yeah. I have a feeling it's the one joke is going to get played out, but
yeah.
I'm willing to try.
My first choice is called Safety Not Guaranteed. This was playing when I was at South by Southwest, and I just didn't get to it. This is a sort of, I think, also in the dark comedy sort of area. And it features Aubrey Plaza, who you know from Parks and Recreation if you have good taste in television. And also Jake Johnson, known to me as the guy I like on New Girl.
Yeah.
The only person I liked at the beginning of New Girl, certainly. And it sort of has to do with, I think, answering an ad. And there's a whole weird story going on about people and the traveling. It's kind of road trip-ish, I think.
I think it's basically a magazine writer played by Aubrey Plaza finds Mark Duplass from The League.
Right.
Who is a guy who puts an ad in the paper saying, I need a partner to go back in time with. And so
time travel, that's what it is. I was thinking it was apocalyptic. It's time travel.
No, it's time travel. He wants to go back in time. And, of course, she doesn't believe that he actually can. And that plot goes bad. You end up with K-Pax. So it's not. Let's hope it doesn't go up there.
Wow. K-Pax. You're a man of many cultural reference points.
But from the trailer, I mean, there's some scenes in there where, you know, it's like he's teaching her that life is for living, like that kind of thing. So it's sort of like the sex reversed Manic Pixie Dream Girl. Uh-huh. But, I mean, Aubrey Plaza is in it. So I can't imagine. You don't hire Aubrey Plaza if you want to do a heartwarming story about somebody teaching somebody else that life is for living.
At least not if you don't want it to have a serious bend to it, which I think is smart.
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to it.
So that's my first choice. Because, like I said, it was playing at South by Southwest, but I think it only played maybe twice, and I just couldn't get there. Mm. So I'm definitely very enthusiastic about that one. I do like some of the people in the cast, and I think Aubrey Plaza, I am so accustomed to her in one role, in that Parks and Rec role, although that Parks and Rec role has sort of recently begun to evolve in some interesting ways, and she's been able to show a few more colors. She's the kind of person where I want to sort of hurry up and see her in something else so that I can get a sense of kind of what there is, because I'm interested in her as an actress. So
cool.
So that's my second choice.
What's it called again?
It's called Safety Not Guaranteed. Before we get to our second round, we did have the thought that we are all old. We've been accused of being old.
Yes.
And so fortunately, we keep at hand
whippersnapper
here at NPR a supply of people who are not old,
yes,
who are younger than we are.
Uh-huh. Punk kids.
We call them interns.
Yep.
And we like them. They're very smart.
Yep.
And so we thought we would borrow one.
And it's worth pointing out that we didn't choose him just because he's young. He's actually my intern, so he helps me put together the movie's coverage every week. Introducing Intern Joel.
Intern Joel.
Hey, Joel. Hello.
How are you?
I'm great. So thrilled to be here.
Are you excited about summer movies?
I'm so excited, actually, and really, and genuinely.
And really, and genuinely. I think it's the blush of youth, you know?
Where are the snows of yesteryear?
So tell us, what is your summer movie pick?
So my summer movie pick, I mean, it's telling that among an absurdity of riches this summer, with, I think, a lot of smartly written Hollywood movies like Ridley Scott's Prometheus and Brave from Pixar, there's one film I gotta go with that I'm most excited to see, and it's The Dark Knight Rises.
Mm-hmm. No. Okay, now, it's tempting to write you off as a whippersnapper who only wants to go to see the big comic book action tentpole movie of the summer.
I think several of us will also go see
I
The
think
Dark
several
Knight
of us
Rises.
Might, yes.
I mean, come on.
I'll be right there. But why?
I'm excited for this movie. Besides reasons of I like Batman or I saw The Dark Knight. So I'm excited for the audacity factor. Christopher Nolan, the director, has made absurd amounts of money on The Dark Knight. And so I'm excited to see the ideas that were in that movie sort of transfer to this one with more directorial freedom. Mm-hmm. The first Batman movie since this reboot, Batman Begins, was dealing with fear. And there were a lot of big ideas in the second movie. But I'm most interested in character. No. With Bruce Wayne at the end of The Dark Knight, he was very, very isolated. I'm excited to see where, in a movie, they take that afterwards, what happens.
Yeah, and I have to assume they're going to amp up some of the technical stuff, too, because, among other things, I was reading the other day about how they're shooting more of it in IMAX than they did the first one. They've upped the amount of it that's in IMAX.
So that's another thing I'm excited about. Christopher Nolan, as a director, has been getting better at certain things. He was not great at action by any means in Batman Begins. Sort of got serviceable by the time he directed The Dark Knight. And in Inception, he had his tumbling and hallway gunfights and snowmobile chases. So now that he's gotten through that, I'm excited to see what he does with Batman fighting in the daytime and football fields imploding, as we saw in the trailer.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But Batman shouldn't fight in the daytime.
I'm hopeful that
the peanut gallery has been quiet as long as it could.
He's the sunny knight.
Oh.
I think it could go in a direction of it. Whatever that idea is doesn't work. Or what I'm hopeful of is that it could go in an interesting direction and bring this hopefully last movie to an interesting end with playing some big ideas about the city and identity and what does it mean to be a vigilante that we saw in the last movie.
Right, because apparently it's set 8 years in the future from The Dark Knight. And there's apparently a sort of Occupy Wall Street vibe to it. There's certainly a have and have-nots thing that hasn't really been a part of the series up to now.
Yeah, and that's definitely not a theme that's been in any of the Batman movies previously. So something new I'm excited to see.
Can I tell you why I'm worried? Bane. I'm worried about Bane. Okay, if I had to locate what went wrong with comics, superhero comics in the 80s and 90s, I might locate it at the moment. Batman, who people say he doesn't have a superpower, he has a superpower. His superpower is he never loses. That's his superpower. When he has his back broken by a angry, evil, drug-addicted luchador. Now, that's when I said, you know what? I'm done. I'm out of comics for a while. And there's just nothing about Bane that is inherently interesting to me. And in fact, he's the antithesis. He represents this movement that infiltrated comics in the 80s and 90s, this sort of need for a badass. And when you take the concept that superheroes are supposed to be fun out of superheroes, you leech from them their animating principle. The thing that gives them life is that they're supposed to be fun. And that's why I'm more looking forward to the Avengers than to this film. And that's something that 12-year-old Glenn, who is a total DC fanboy, would find blasphemy, calumny, because 12-year-old Glenn felt that the Marvel superhero should just shut up, stop whining, and hit something, and really loved DC characters. And between those two film directors, Nolan does Dower, great. But Whedon, whatever his limitations as a film director, the one thing you can't say about him is that he's humorless. So I think there's going to be a more animating, fun popcorn level of humor coming from the Avengers.
Did you like The Dark Knight?
Sure, it was fine. But again, there is a one-note dour. And I also think that Christian Bale is presenting us with a very one-note character. When he tries to be wacky Bruce Wayne, I just don't buy it. So I'm looking forward to this. I think it's going to be technically brilliant. I just can't care about it.
Yeah, and it's interesting that you would say that about the Avengers versus this film, because I definitely was among the people who said when The Dark Knight came out, and I was not alone in this, that I much more enjoyed Iron Man, which, you know, that's Jon Favreau, and similar to Whedon, I think you do have a playfulness with Favreau that
cocked eyebrow the whole time.
Yeah, right? I tend to prefer that approach to superhero movies, too. Mm. But I'm also excited to see the...
Yeah, I think it's definitely sort of an issue of taste, and I feel like with a lot of superhero movies, that sense of fun is sort of essential to the escapism that you can have with the characters. I think what I like about the Nolan interpretation is that you get the very serious side. You get the question answered in a way of, what if Bruce Wayne were in the real world? How mm-hmm. would that work? And right. what would be the consequences of those actions that this character would be taking, yeah, both for himself point. And for
yeah,
the city?
Yeah, yeah. No, I see your point. Where do you come down on The Amazing Spider-Man, which looks kind of emo?
Yeah, on that one, I'm not excited. I liked the Sam Raimi, Tobey Maguire Spider-Mans pretty well, but with this Amazing Spider-Man, what I sort of see, the dichotomy between the Avengers and the Dark Knight, I see that one sort of being right in the middle.
Right.
But Spider-Man is a character that needs to be fun. It's cool to be Spider-Man. Yes, mm-hmm. you've sort of had trauma in the past. You don't have your parents, and your uncle is, you know, dies in something that you probably had a hand in doing.
Get over it. Swing from some buildings.
But really, it's fun to be Spider-Man, and yeah. that doesn't look very, very fun. It looks yeah. sort of dark in a way that's not really earned by Spider-Man.
There were, in all the land, only three people in the country who enjoyed the goofy dance scene in Spider-Man 3, and I am all three of them.
Very nice. Well, I appreciate the exegesis of current superhero filmmaking.
Before you go, Intern Joel, tell us, who were your runners-up?
My runners-up were definitely Ridley Scott's Prometheus, sort of a prequel or within the same universe as his Alien movie. I think it's playing with a lot of interesting ideas, but also looks like just solid sci-fi filmmaking from a pretty great director.
And boy, if you haven't seen those movies recently, go back and rewatch them. I did recently, and gosh, he's good.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Thank you so much, Intern Joel. We're so happy that you came and joined us.
Yes, indeed. And Intern Joel does actually have a last name, Joel Arnold. Ladies and gentlemen, watch out for his byline. He's a good kid.
Absolutely agree. With that blast of youth out of the way, Stephen.
Now a dour old man takes the seat. Actually, what I'm excited about the new Batman movie is if he's fighting during the day, that means that old man Thompson will be able to figure out what the hell is actually happening.
Right.
Yeah, I gotcha. So Stephen, tell me about another summer movie that you're looking for.
Well, this one I'm just absolutely kind of overwhelmingly curious about. It's called Seeking a Friend for the End of the World.
That's on my list, too.
Yep. And there are a number of things that I find enormously compelling. I watched the trailer. This is the genre description. Comedy, drama, romance, sci-fi.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. the cast, Steve Carell, whom I love, Keira Knightley, Patton Oswalt is in it, mm-hmm. who, you know, is generally a mark of quality. It's written and directed by Larina Scafaria, who wrote Nick and Nora's Infinite Playlist.
Oh,
and
fun film.
And she's also written for Children's Hospital, so yeah. that's...
Mm. Ooh, yeah. okay. Yeah. It looks like it's doing this incredibly tender and difficult balancing act, where basically it's 3 weeks until the world ends. A giant asteroid is coming, and, you know, it's sort of handling all the various things with the looming apocalypse, but it's boiled down to sort of the Steve Carell in Dan in Real Life mope mm-hmm. mode, mm-hmm. and setting up this road trip across the country. So that one just looks like it's got that right mix of kind of drama and comedy and sort of melancholy mm-hmm. that I often... And of course, speaking of melancholy, there is a new Wes Anderson movie coming out, too.
Yes, there is.
Oh, so Seeking a Friend for the End of the World comes out June 22nd.
Terrific. Trey Graham.
When I tell you the title of this film, one of us in the room is going to utter a knowing laugh. And that is because the title of this film is Bel Ami.
Mm-hmm. I didn't touch that with a 10-foot
pole. It's based on the novel, the sort of classic novel by Guy de Maupassant, but it stars Twilight Guy and Christina Ricci and Uma Thurman and Kristin Scott Thomas.
Everything it's the story stars of, him now.
Right. It's the story of a man who comes from nowhere to sort of charm the pants or the bloomers off the skirts off the ladies of Paris high society and gains access to a world of privilege and power and money. The release has been delayed in the U.S., which can sometimes mean the movie will turn out to be terrible. But I've seen people saying that some interesting things about how well it's written. The trailer features a lot of lovely costume porn, which is a thing that I like.
Well, thank you, Trey. We can always count on you to bring the pretty costumes.
The costume drama, yeah.
Absolutely. Glenn Weldon, tell me about another summer movie you're excited about.
On August 3rd, the remake of Total Recall is going to hit theaters.
That movie only exists to make me feel old. There's no other reason to remake Total Recall.
Now, I'm a huge fan of the original Philip K. Dick story, We Can Remember It For You Wholesale, and not a fan of the Arnold Schwarzenegger version of that story, which was just this cheesy, bloated thing with this terrible ending. Terrible, terrible ending. And right in the middle of it, you have this cheese ball going, get your ass to Mars. The idea of actually...
Spoiler alert.
Right. The idea of actually making a movie of that short story, I don't know if that's what this is, but it's got Colin Farrell. The look of it is a little bit more grimy, a little bit more dare one say realistic. The thing that makes me have any hesitation at all is that it's from the director of Underworld, which that's not, that bodes ill. Mm-hmm. But I'm looking forward to it.
That's very optimistic of you.
Uh-huh.
I have chosen, as my other choice, a movie called Ruby Sparks, which is from Valerie Faris and Jonathan Dayton, who are the directors of Little Miss Sunshine. And they are working again with Paul Dano. And I just saw the trailer for this the other day. And basically, he is a young writer who begins writing about a woman. And then he sort of wills her into existence by writing about her. And this happens to be a concept that I am always a sucker for, the sort of wishing people into reality and kind of what the implications of that are and what the positives and negatives of that would be.
Can you point to other movies in this genre? Because I
cannot remember the exact name of it, but there's actually one coming out this summer in which Jennifer Garner and some dude are wishing that they had a baby, and then they wish
the
baby.
So they bury a shoebox or something?
There's a little bit of it in Stranger Than Fiction with Will Ferrell and Emma Thompson. So I like sort of this idea. I am saying this partly because I wrote a short story like this when I was in high school. So I like this idea. I've always been a little bit fascinated by it. And in fact, when I saw the trailer, I thought, somebody took my story from when I was a senior in high school. So I am fascinated by this. I like these directors. They kind of fell off the map after Little Miss Sunshine. I love Paul Dano, who I think has been lovely in several different things. So I am excited about it. Looking forward to that one. Conceptually, I am on board.
Awesome.
So, all right. Well, we can't be optimistic forever. So we eventually had to come around to a summer movie that we are not looking forward to. So we're going to take a quick spin through those. Stephen, what are you not looking forward to?
I've teased this one a couple times, but I'm absolutely fascinated by the existence of Battleship.
Mm-hmm.
For those who don't know, they have adapted the popular board game Battleship.
Sort of.
As a massively loud and expensive-looking...
An explodey.
Explodey, mm-hmm. explode-a-thon, in which the titular battleship, and it looks like several of them, are attacked...
You said titular.
Are attacked by, I believe it's, is it evil aliens?
I think it's aliens.
I did not know that those little red pegs were aliens.
Yeah.
Now, you know, Peter Berg is directing it, you know, who did Friday Night Lights, and Liam Neeson, and, you know,
well, and, I am
and
most,
Rihanna.
I am most fascinated by this as the next step for one Taylor Kitsch, who played Tim Riggins on Friday Night Lights, was really terrific on Friday Night Lights, and then has just been through the ordeal of being the guy in John Carter, which made, I believe, was a bigger financial bust than any movie ever.
$300 million.
I believe it made $40.
So the thing that is sad about this movie is that I fear it's going to be absolutely terrible. And if it flops,
suddenly
I can't
Taylor
imagine
Kitch's
that's not
poison.
It for Taylor Kitsch.
Well, he's got another.
Who I actually think is a terrific actor,
and he's got another one coming.
Later
this summer. So he'll have multiple opportunities to...
The question that is on everybody's lips is, will they be able to get the line, "You sank my battleship," into this film? Let's take bets.
I can't imagine
how they would do it.
Oh, no, come on. No. You know there's going to be a president and, you know, talking
Who's
going to
gonna say, Trey?
He's going to yell it into a phone. "You sank my battleship!"
Yeah.
Oh, it's going to be great.
Now
I'm not even dreading this movie. Now I want to see it.
I don't think they're going to do that. The other thing that I will say I like about this movie is it is a movie that launched like 1,000 listicles of like people speculating about other board games. Some of them were kind of funny. Like, what's the Connect Four movie, action movie gonna
pretty
look
sneaky
like.
Sis, that's your that's your tagline right
exactly.
there
exactly and you know what's the Othello movie gonna look like,
but
like
but
that.
Poking around and reading
because they've already made Go
poking around reading about this movie, they are developing Monopoly. They're developing Monopoly the motion
of
picture.
Of course they are.
And yeah,
you seem surprised.
I got.
All right.
You know what? If they're going to adapt your childhood short story, why not? Just do Battleship.
Exactly. Trey Graham, tell me about a summer movie you're not looking forward to.
I went back and forth.
On your iPad right now?
Hush. Hush. I forgot we were doing this part. I thought we were going to be all nice and shiny. So yes, I've just been looking at the list again.
Well, I have so many thumb.
Shut up.
I so rarely bust for what you're doing while we're taping.
Funny you should ask me that question that you just asked me just now.
Uh-huh.
Oh, the thoughts I have.
Okay, go ahead, Trey.
It would, of course, be tempting to go with The Dictator, because that is a guaranteed awful pileup. But I think I'm going to go with That's My Boy, which appears to be a movie.
That's a good choice.
You swooped in having done no research, and you took mine.
And I've chosen it entirely because it appears to be a movie starring both Andy Samberg and Adam Sandler. And
it
really,
is.
Do you have to go?
It appears.
Do we have to go any deeper than that?
Well, here's the thing that's sad about it. I was sure that this movie was going to be directed by Dennis Dugan.
Right.
When I saw the description, because Dennis Dugan has directed many of your terrible Adam Sandler movies of the past, as well as some other terrible
As well as basically every other terrible movie that's ever been made. Didn't he do Problem Child?
I don't remember. And so I was sure that was going to be who it is, but it's not. It's directed by one of the writers of Mr. Popper's Penguins.
From one of the writers of Mr. Popper's Penguins.
So I'm sitting here thinking, well, now I understand. Now it's just going to be terrible from a different direction. And then I find out that it's written by someone who's a writer on Happy Endings.
Oh.
This complicates my situation.
It complicates me.
Happy Endings is one of my favorite comedies on TV right now. And that it would be a Happy Endings writer makes me despair for someone.
Mm-hmm.
Either that writer or myself or the world.
Yeah, but I think it's more likely that this person got dragged aboard Mr. Popper's Penguins.
dragged him in.
Yeah,
it's very possible. Maybe just he and the penguins go back along.
Yeah. From the jerk who brought you a few lines in Mr. Popper's Penguins.
Yeah, Trey and I will have to share that one.
Okay.
Glenn Weldon, what are you not looking forward to this summer?
It's not so much the summer as what happens later. Because every year...
Fall?
Yeah. Well, every year at Thanksgiving... You're there with your family, and somebody comes up with the movie that they love that is the best movie I've ever seen. Last year it was The Blind Side. So you have to sit there going...
I think 2 years ago it was The Blind Side. Last year it was The Help.
That's right. Okay. this year it's going to be a French film called Intouchables.
Mm-hmm.
It's a huge hit in France. It's about an aristocrat who becomes a quadriplegic after a paragliding accident, so you can really feel for the guy. He hires an inner-city youth to be his caretaker, and they teach each other that life is for living. And I had the same reaction to this trailer that I had to the trailer for Franklin and Bash, which is I am watching the SCTV parody of the trailer of this film.
Mm-hmm.
So it just hits every cheeseball note. It's heartwarming and warm and wonderful, and I hate it.
And just wait, Glenn, for the gigantic Oscar campaign, because that is a
Weinstein. Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Well, since Trey took mine, I'm just going to have to,
do what Trey did and wing it?
No, I'm just going to have to stick with my original pick of That's My Boy. We now double are not looking forward to it.
Where does Magic Mike fit into it?
I will almost certainly go and see Magic Mike. It's just the way of the world.
Steven Soderbergh directs. Channing Tatum stars as a stripper.
As a stripper.
Yes.
For those who don't know.
Which he used to be in real life.
Well, look, anything that Steven Soderbergh does at least is likely to have some moments, right? Even if it's one of the ones that he does to make money to make the other one.
As a bonus round, I'm really curious about Brave. And if it fails, I'm going to assume that girls are passe.
Sure.
Yes, exactly. Good thinking, yeah. Stephen. So that brings us to the end of our summer movie round. You can come and find us on Facebook at facebook.com/PCHH and let us know what you are looking forward to and not looking forward to this summer. And as always, tell us what we missed, because we know that it is not a comprehensive overview of the summer. It is merely our sampling. And so now we move on to our favorite part of the week. What is making us happy this week? Stephen Thompson, what's making you happy this week?
Well, as far as entertainment that I've absorbed since the last time we taped, I've spent most of my time watching the NFL draft.
Yes.
And I'm pleased to report that the Green Bay Packers got all the good players.
Right.
And that all 31 other teams have, in advance, forfeited the Super Bowl.
Right.
So congratulate me now. I got tweeted by Drunk Hulk.
Yes.
Nice.
Which was maybe the highlight of my entire life.
In your face?
It is in your face, Stephen.
Very good.
Because I was bested by Drunk Hulk in something or other. Uh-huh. And finally, a Tumblr called Bon Iver Erotica.
Oh, my God.
Which several people have seen fit to send me.
Brings a whole new meaning to the Bon Iver jar.
Yep.
Yes, it does. It's more or less self-explanatory.
Is it?
No, I don't know.
You know what?
No, we need to explain.
Trey, you want to?
I will explain. It's kind of like the Hey Girl Tumblr.
So these pictures of beardy hipster Justin Vernon, all
and each one of them has a relatively tame but wishful thinking kind of romantic sentence attached to it.
I think it's just there because of the pun in the name.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
But God bless it.
All right. Trey Graham, what's making you happy this week?
Well, what's making me happy is that my list of movies that I was looking forward to is longer than we could talk about, so I'm going to go very quickly through three that I want you to know about. Savages, coming July 6th from a best-selling crime novel about a Buddhist and a former Navy SEAL who grow weed.
That's got Taylor Kitsch.
Oliver Stone directs. Yeah. Taylor Kitsch is in it. And the trailer is one of the more violent things I've seen recently, and it looks awesome. Trishna is an adaptation of Tess of the D'Urbervilles set in present-day India. Frida Pinto, Michael Winterbottom is the director. Mm-hmm. Always fascinating. That's good stuff coming there, and probably will be better than the best exotic Marigold Hotel. And lastly, Chicken with Plums in August has amazing buzz. It's based on a graphic novel by Maryam Satrapi, the Iranian woman behind the much-praised movie Persepolis. But this is a live-action movie. It's in French with subtitles, and it looks absolutely gorgeous and morbidly funny.
Wonderful.
So there's that. As far as what's actually making me happy for this segment, Out of the Game is the title track of the new Rufus Wainwright album, and the song itself is pretty darn good. The music video is the most delightful thing I've seen all this week. It stars Helena Bonham Carter, to bring it back to an earlier topic. She's playing a kind of woebegone but still sexy librarian. Librarian,
oh,
shout out.
We love those.
And Rufus plays three different characters, one of whom is a housewife with a drinking problem. The end of it is a little bit racy, but at the very last moment of it, there's a great visual joke involving one of the great English novelists and a certain bit of lingerie.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm. Boy, talk about things made for me. You know, that we were talking before about things that were just like bread in a lab to be enjoyed. That is
right.
Bread in a lab. All it needs is Dame Maggie Smith.
Right.
To be enjoyed, by Trey Graham.
Very true. All right. Excellent choice, Trey Graham. Glenn Weldon, what's making you happy this week?
It's that time of year again, people. Saturday, May 5th is free comic book day.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
You walk into a comic book store anywhere in the country that you find through freecomicbookday.com, and they will hand you or let you pick from assortment of free comic books. Normally, I write an in-depth preview for the blog. This year, I'm busy being an author, and I don't have time, I'm afraid. But, you know, this year, I do want to kind of give you a heads up that, you know, every year I get emailed, Glenn, will there be My Favorite Martian comics available on Free Comic Book Day? And I can finally say, yes, they've heard you. They've heard the Ray Walston fanatics out there, and they've actually produced a My Favorite Martian comic, which is actually a reprint of the old My Favorite Martian comic book that was produced to go along with the show in the 60s. It is terrible, but it might be interesting from a
Archaeological standpoint.
When I saw it there, I was like, whoa, somebody finally picked up that license. Good. Didn't want to leave that lying around for too long. But if you are looking for something to pick up, you can't go wrong with a book called Atomic Robo. Bongo Comics, the people who produced the Simpsons and the Futurama comics, are great. Mouse Guard. The Censored Howard Cruise. Howard Cruise wrote Stuck Rubber Baby. He's written a lot of underground comics. When they say censored, this is a sampling of his underground stuff, but with strategically placed black boxes. So it's safe for the kids. And the Top Shelf sampler. Top Shelf is a really great company. They produce a lot of really good stuff for kids. So definitely seek that out. Go Saturday, May 5th. If you're listening to this Sunday, you missed out.
And I just want to add, I did go last year on my own to my neighborhood comic book store where I had never been before. And I just want to say, if this is the kind of thing that you hear about and you think, well, I would go, but I don't really know what it would be like and I feel like I would feel weird, trust me when I tell you, they're waiting for you.
Yeah.
It's a big deal.
You are not stepping into a den of judgment.
It's a big deal. They're happy to see you. They're waiting for you. It's like going to a store that's having an open house.
Exactly.
They are looking to welcome you and show you around. They're happy to make recommendations. They're happy to give you ideas. Whatever you pick out, they're going to act really enthusiastic that it's like they're super happy that you came. They're super happy that you picked something out. If you wander in, they will sort of come to you and help you. So based on my experience. So I just want to say, say, if this is the kind of thing that you love the idea of it in spirit, but you feel a little tentative about doing it in practice, you probably have a local comic book store. Find it, go visit them. If for nothing else, step through the door of a business that you don't normally go to and interact with people and see what it's like.
And get Mouse Guard, because it really is one of the most charming comics ever.
So this is actually for people like you, people who haven't, who aren't born and bred, the people that haven't got their
hooks into. Was born and bred.
That's right. The people that haven't got their hooks in, this is exactly what you said. It's an open house. And if you thought they were friendly last year, this year, when digital comics are coming along and really cutting into the brick and mortar business, they are going to be ecstatic to see you. So you should go.
Absolutely. It's probably your best chance all week to be truly, truly loved by strangers. So here's what is making me happy this week. It ties into something I need to tell all of you for next week, which is that I will not be here. Mm-hmm. I will not be here because I am returning to the mountains of North Carolina for a little rest and relaxation. And normally I would try to come up with something pop culture related that's making me happy, but my happiness over my impending vacation blots out everything else. All other, not only happy feelings, but bad feelings, like all other emotion is muted to me right now because I'm so incredibly excited about leaving town and being gone for a week. And as I was saying to Glenn earlier today, I even like the drive down there through Virginia. Yeah.
Do you have your audiobooks picked out?
I haven't yet. Mm. I'm doling out the tasks, you know, so that I have something to do and remain excited every day. So that's what's making me happy this week is that I will not be here next week. As much as I love,
so that's
all
what
of
that's
you.
What makes everybody else miserable. That's right. What makes you happy. Well, is just siphoning the joy.
But you
off of everyone
but you
else.
Have to remember that you know, a couple weeks ago, none of you all were here.
That's true. People loved that.
I was here with the ladies and of course Mike, who is the only one of us who has to just keep working and working and working. But yeah, I'm very excited. I will be incredibly happy to have some time off. So that's unquestionably what's making me happy this week.
Well deserved.
And that brings us to the end of our show. You can follow all of us on Twitter. You can follow me and the blog at NPR Monkey C. You can follow Stephen at I Dislike Stephen, STEPHEN. You can follow Trey at Trey Graham, Trey with an E, Graham like the cracker. You can follow Glenn at GH Weldon, WELDON. You can follow our esteemed and faithful producer, Mike Katziff, at Mike KATZIF. You can also follow our lovely intern, Joel Arnold. Thank you, Joel Arnold.
Yay!
You can follow him at Joel K. Arnold. That's Joel K. Arnold. All one word, just like it sounds.
That's spelled Joel K. Arnold.
And as always, of course, come and find us on Facebook, because we love that too. Facebook.com/PCHH. Thanks to all of you guys for being here, as always.
Oh, thank
you.
Cool.
And thanks to all of you for listening. And the rest of these guys, we'll see you next week.